Milo's Money Days are here, and we're making it rain for rewards members. For the first time ever, when you make a purchase of $200 or more through July 12th, you'll get up to $30 back in extra Milo's money. Not a member yet? Join for free today, because members get more at Lowe's. Milo's Money Award varies based on status. Members in gold get 30, silver get 20, and bronze get 10. Milo's Money valid for 30 days. Restrictions and more terms at Lowe's.com/Milo's Money Days.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Okay, so I just want, let's just, are we correct that you met Maya and or her parents for 5 hours plus over 2 weeks?
If that's what it says in the chart, yes, that's correct.
I'm not a memory test, I was just wondering, does that sound about like what you were doing?
That, sure.
Okay. Now, would you agree with me that it's not exactly rare for a child, a 9-year-old girl in this case, to want to spend more time with her mother?
Yes.
That's pretty common, isn't
correct.
It?
Correct.
And it would not be unusual for a 9-year-old child to be more expressive about their pain, their emotions, how they're feeling with a parent as opposed to a stranger?
Not necessarily, no.
I see. So you do not agree that children tend to open up more to their parents than they do to someone they don't know well at all?
No, I don't agree with that.
You think that they would just... But in that instance, aren't you talking about children with grave psychiatric problems or issues? You're not talking about a normal 9-year-old, are you?
I don't know what a normal 9-year-old is, but a lot of times children have a easier time opening up to people who are objective and outside of the family.
Okay. But in this case, you felt that she was opening up more to her parents than you.
I don't recall that, no. I don't know if that was part of my notes.
That when the parents left, she became much more quiet and much less expressive, I think is what you testified to, right?
Actually, that changed. I think at one point she was happy when they were gone.
Okay. Through this period of time, did it come to your attention that Maya found her therapy to be incredibly painful?
I don't know about, I would say distressing. I'm not sure about painful.
All right. Well, let's look at Exhibit 2529-35. What are those on her feet?
Those are braces.
Corrective boots?
I don't know the exact term.
Does that look like a happy child to you?
I can't speculate from a picture.
You're a pediatric neuropsychologist, and you can't tell us from this photograph whether that child doesn't look distressed, concerned, in pain?
She could.
Otherwise negative?
She could.
All right. And so a child in pain is, for instance, you said that what was significant to you was that you saw her during a physical therapy session, and it was significant when she returned to the wheelchair, she stopped complaining, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is it just possible that she stopped complaining because she stopped the physical therapy that was hurting her?
It seemed to me it was more related to the discussion that was happening.
I see. So that child right there, the simple fact that no one's hurting her anymore, that did had no effect on your opinion?
Not that it didn't have any effect, no.
All right. And you would agree with me that Maya tried as hard as she could in these physical therapy sessions from everything you saw and heard.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again, please?
That Maya tried as hard as she could in these physical therapy sessions from everything that you saw coming in on some of them and read.
I haven't read any of the physical therapy notes, I apologize, so I can't
okay.
comment on that.
So you don't know one
so
way
I don't
or the
know.
Other? Fair enough. All right, and so at that point, you said she got there was a consult from Dr. Giron, is that how
Correct.
You pronounce his name?
Giron, her, yes. She.
Okay, and is he a pediatric neurologist, or is he a neurologist, what is he?
She is a pediatric neurologist.
I didn't know. Mm-hmm. She's what?
Yes, she is a pediatric neurologist.
Okay, how long did she spend, if you recall?
I don't know.
From that note, did you see where she did a differential diagnosis to rule out any other possibilities?
I'm sorry, I don't have that note in front of me, so I have no idea what's in that note.
I don't know if you've got that to pull up real quick. We do great. No, it's okay.
No, we don't.
I catch that one. Okay. And just to make sure we're clear here, your contact with the Kowalskis was approximately, it was in August of 2015?
Correct.
So if she went into Johns Hopkins All Children's for the visit in question here, that would be some, 14 months before? She went in October of 2016.
Oh, you mean, and she was in Tampa General 14 months before?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And throughout the time that you dealt with the Kowalskis, they were cooperative. Not Maya, but Jack and Beata.
Correct.
And they were accepting of your diagnoses for the most part, were they not?
Mom had trouble accepting the diagnosis.
Initially, she agreed, and then she came back and said, I'm concerned this may not be correct, right?
Correct.
So, as far as you saw, they were perfectly normal, concerned parents.
Again, I don't like to use the word normal, but they did seem to be concerned, yes.
And they were not displaying any aberrant behavior or anything that caused you any concern that there was a psychosis or psychological problem going on with either one of them?
Mr. Anderson's going to ask you a new question.
Last question. Did you ever receive, and I don't know, maybe it's the first time you're aware that Maya Kowalski went back in a patient at a hospital at Johns Hopkins in October of 2016. Did that come to your attention before this?
No, I wasn't aware.
Let me just ask you, did you ever receive, or do you know, notes reveal, that a Dr. Kastenstein there ever called you about your experience with Maya?
That question's enough. You can answer that.
I have no independent recollection of speaking with her, no.
Thank you.
Brief redirect, Your Honor?
Yes.
Clay, can you put back up 3047-0029? You were asking questions, Doctor, about Dr. Giron's pediatric neurology and whether there were differentials. Take a look at that for a moment from your perspective as a neuropsychologist. and I was going to direct your attention to the plan. Do you know what an EMG nerve conduction study is?
I know of it. I don't know the specifics, though.
Okay. At least according to your review of this report, Dr. Geron continued to try to do evaluations going forward to see if there would be evidence of a physical neurologic condition.
Objection leading. Overruled.
Correct.
And Dr. Geron spent, at least according to her note, an hour, if you look at the bottom, Clay.
Okay.
An hour going through records, including prior records. True?
Correct.
Let me ask you about a note that Mr. Anderson asked you about. We'll put it up so you can review it again. It's at 0372. And you can read it again, because I have a question for you. Mr. Anderson asked you about whether the pain was from physical therapy or the pain was from something else. So take a moment to read it, and I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
From your review of the note, did it appear that Maya was having pain from therapy, or did the pain come out of the blue from some other source?
It seemed to come out of the blue.
And then lastly, you were asked about whether there was a discharge diagnosis. I mean, again, for planning for discharge, can you explain to this jury, you're sitting down with the interdisciplinary team to come up with a diagnosis altogether? Is that how this works?
No, the diagnoses, I don't know if Dr. Kornberg enters them, but every diagnosis entered is included in that list.
Do you contribute your thoughts directly to Dr. Kornberg so he can have the benefit of your neuropsychological impressions?
Yes.
Let me show you what's in evidence as same chart, Clay, but at 0010. You were asked a question. We'll represent to you this is Dr. Kornberg's discharge diagnosis. You were asked a question whether conversion disorder or psychological factors were part of the discharge. Take a moment to read this, please.
Okay.
Was your suspicion of conversion disorder included in the potential discharge diagnoses of Maya?
Yes, it was.
Thank you for your time.
Dr. Kornberg, a neuropsychologist?
No, he's not.
So, we have here Maya had an apparently inexplicable source of pain at times.
Okay, yes.
Anything further, Mr. Shapiro?
No, thank you.
Members of the jury. Any other questions coming? We'll just stay here. Dr. McCain, the jury has a couple of questions. I'm just going to ask them or ask those questions to you.
Okay.
In your testimony, you've used the phrase similar to, quote, psychological contribution, end quote. Should I interpret this to mean there is a mental component, but there is also a physical component, or does your phrase psychological contribution mean there is no physical component?
That's a hard question to ask. I mean, there's a physical component because there are physical symptoms, and those symptoms are real, but we cannot find a physical diagnosis to explain those symptoms. But they continue to be real, but the what is fueling those symptoms are psychological factors.
You said you don't know what a, quote, normal child is, end quote. With your training, years of practice, fellowship, and board certifications, could you possibly agree that there are certain, quote, norms, end quote, that can or should be used in evaluating what is, quote, normal, end quote, behavior, in this case, for a child raised in Maya's social economic family unit?
Yes.
Let me continue. I think it kind of goes on. We don't have a general quote baseline end quote to use. And if you don't know what a normal child is, how do you know when a child is abnormal or in need of your services?
And I think there are certain situations where you have normal, like for instance IQ, you have you have what is considered normal performance and you have aberrations of that. I think in terms of behavior, you have norms. But I just think generally, talking about what is normal to a child, it's every child is so different. I think that's what I was referring to.
Mr. Shapiro, do you have any follow-up?
If we can go back to 0372. You can take out the bottom part of the page for her now. You were asked about psychological factors. Was part of your assessment of that based on the inconsistencies that you saw in Maya's presentation?
Yes.
And in terms of her behavior and the your observation of some of it being exaggerated, what was the significance to you of Mr. Kowalski also seeing that behavior?
Because in a condition like this, the more that the parents and caregivers understand what's going on, the more appropriate support they can give to help with progress.
Okay. Thank you. That's all, Your Honor.
Mr. Anderson, any further questions?
I'm going to show you a clip here. Two questions. The first one is, have you seen this before? And I'm not going to show the whole clip. I've seen it many times. But I just wanted to show you a little bit here. And the second question is, does it appear that this child is trying as hard as she can?
She might be.
Good. That's shaking on your own. That was good. Can you press up a little bit for me?
That's Marissa Higgins?
Yes.
There you go.
Come on, Brady.
Come on, you're doing it.
Toes forward. Toes forward.
There you go. All right. Come on, lefty.
Still think this is conversion disorder?
Based on my experience with her, yes.
Anything further, Mr. Shapiro?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Members of the jury, any further questions? Question that was asked, but I'm going to allow the attorneys to ask additional questions. Mr. Shapiro, did you have any other questions?
No, at this time.
Mr. Anderson?
Did you have the opportunity to review any of the therapist's notes for that clip there, for that time?
No, I was not.
So you can't tell us one way or the other what was noted in there as to whether it was consistent or not with your therapy?
Correct.
Just one question, Your Honor.
Sure.
And I don't need to pull up your notes, Dr. McKean, but you actually took it upon yourself to personally observe Maya in therapy more than once. Is that fair?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Anderson?
No, Your Honor.
Anything further from the jury? Got another juror coming. Another question coming. Members of the jury, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to ask that question. So, I think we have now completed, unless there's any other question from anybody. May this witness be excused?
Yes, Your Honor.
And released from any subpoenas?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Members of the jury, this is probably a good time for us to take a morning stretch break. We'll try to keep it between 5 and 10 minutes. I'm learning. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All rise. Jurors exit.
The jury is out of our presence. Any issue we need to address before we go on our break? Mr. Hunter.
We approach, Your Honor.
Sure. Hey, please be seated, everybody. Well, we've got one side.
Things go much more smoothly.
Spirit of asking permission and not forgiveness. This is a billing person who has a response plate, All Children's, to address the allegation that All Children's billed $500,000 for CRPS. Among the codes, of course, includes child neglect and abandonment. It's going to be a front of the jury. I can't imagine that's an issue. It's one of the 12 codes they billed under. So it is what it is.
As long as he is not being presented in any form as a, quote, expert, and he's simply a fact witness, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, he's not a medical doctor. He's not going to testify that, you know, that there was those things.
So. That's basically his affidavit?
I suppose. I don't know.
Are we ready to bring the jury back in?
Yes, Your Honor.
Let's bring in the jury. Members of the jury, just want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation, and received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
And defense, your next witness, please.
Yes, Your Honor, we call Jason Baker.
Face the clerk and raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Come this way.
May it please the court. Good morning, sir. Can you introduce yourself to the jury, please?
Good morning. My name is Jason Bankert. I'm the Executive Director of Revenue Cycle for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
And Mr. Bankert, you may want to pull the microphone just a little bit closer to you so that way everyone throughout the courthouse can hear you.
I apologize about that.
And just to repeat, can you tell the jury what is your job title?
Yes, I'm the Executive Director of Revenue Cycle Site Services for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
So let me take you back, because I have a habit of dating people, not dating them that way, but dating them. It came out awkward. It's Friday morning.
It's all right. It's quite all right.
All right, let's just get this out of the way. We're not dating. I don't know. All right. All right, let's start over.
Should we call your spouse?
house?
Yeah.
I say, I have to make a phone
call.
Thank
goodness this isn't on national TV. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, tell the jury, where did you go to undergrad?
Yes, I went to school at Bloomsburg University, which is located in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. My undergrad is in finance and business economics, and I was also fortunate enough to attend Bloomsburg University to get my MBA with a concentration in leadership.
And what year did you graduate with your MBA?
I graduated in 2005.
And have you, after you graduated, what type of career or profession did you pursue?
Sure. My first job coming out of college in undergrad was in December 17, 2001. I started out in healthcare finance. I was a financial analyst. That was my first job, and I have spent the last 22 years in various finance, healthcare-related roles.
Have you spent the majority of your career in healthcare finance?
I have spent all of my career in healthcare finance.
And what is your current role at All Children's Johns Hopkins? If you could explain to the jury, what is your day-to-day?
Sure. So my day-to-day is I make sure that the patient experience from being registered at the visit, right? So when you come in, we make sure that I'm part of the scheduling process, the registration process for the visit. After the patient is seen by the provider, I'm overseeing the coding that is done by the certified coders to make sure that they capture all the services that were rendered. I'm then responsible for making sure that a clean bill goes out the door and follow up with the insurance company to make sure that we receive payment, as well as address any concerns that might be in place for any patient balances that are outstanding afterwards.
We had a chance to meet last night.
That is correct, sir.
And I told you what I was calling you to the witness stand.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Have you had a chance to review the hospital bills for Maya Kowalski for her inpatient stay of October 2016 through January 2017?
Yes, sir, I have. I had the ability to go through and take a look at the hospital claims that were filed on behalf of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital to Aetna, and was able to take a look and see if all the transactions that took place.
Have you also had a chance to review the interaction between the Kowalskis and Aetna regarding claims, processes, and denials?
That is correct, sir.
Okay.
I was able to receive and take a look at those communications through the online portal between the Kowalskis and Aetna regarding any procedures that were performed or any bills that took place.
Based on your training and experience...
Your Honor, I'm sorry, can we approach briefly?
You may continue, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Your Honor. Let me just re-ask the question. Did you have a chance to review some of the messaging center printouts between Mrs. Kowalski and Ed?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. In your experience, in your role at All Children's Hospital, do you interface with insurance companies like Aetna?
We interface with insurance companies all the time, whether it's Aetna or any other payer.
Mm-hmm. And are you aware of the role of All Children's in providing medical records to Aetna for their review?
Yes. What typically happens for a lot of inpatient stays, in which this is, there's a constant communication and feedback between the insurance company, utilization management or case management department, and I'm representing hospitals, case management and utilization management department. And what I had noticed and what I had discovered was from the time of October through about the first week of January, there was 14 correspondences from Aetna asking for clinical documentation in order to make sure that the visit was authorized, meaning that Aetna saw that the care was being provided according. And we were performing the services that Aetna had agreed to allow us to perform. So from October through January 7th, approximately, give or take, once a week, we had received these requests for medical documentation, and we provided it to Aetna to ensure that the authorization and medical necessity was meeting the standards.
What does that mean, medical necessity, if you could explain that to the jury?
Sure. Medical necessity, in layman's terms, is that you want to make sure that the care that's being provided to the patient is actually needed. So imagine a scenario where you have a patient who comes into the emergency room and they have a cough, right? Next thing you know, if the provider goes through and does a lung transplant, well, the insurance company is going to say, this patient only had a cough. Why are you doing a lung transplant? That's not necessary. There wasn't need for any of that. You need to treat the symptoms all the way up through to find out that the person only had a flu. So medical necessity is used by insurance companies to ensure that we are providing the proper care to the patient at the right time.
If hypothetically all children were submitting claims for the medical services being rendered but not actually performing those services, what would happen?
The claim would absolutely deny. There's two types of denials, and this is one thing in my review of the hospital claims that I took a look at. Aetna paid the claims. They never denied the claims once for medical necessity, and they never once denied the claims for no authorization. And those are two key denials that would have typically taken place for any situation that you have when services are rendered that don't match up with the authorization for the court work to be performed does.
I'm going to show you what's in evidence as trial exhibit 2017-655. And you could probably zoom in a little bit. Let me first ask you, is this a medical bill?
No, sir, this isn't a bill. This just appears to be more of a detailed transaction from Aetna itself. This isn't anything that we would have sent as a bill.
So just to be clear, what in this trial exhibit is not a medical bill?
No, it's not a medical bill, sir.
Okay. You have experience in reviewing documents like this, though, true?
That is correct, sir.
So let me ask you a little bit, when you see some of the categories, and I'll go to the top, do you see where the date received is 11-8-2016, so that would be about a month after Maya was admitted?
Yes, sir.
And then what is the type of service being billed for?
The type of service being billed for, by the looks of it, is room and board, based upon what I'm seeing here?
Yeah.
Your Honor, we object and would like to approach.
Jury, this is going to take us a few more minutes, so I'm going to ask that you step back to your room. You're not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You're not doing an investigation and receive no information.
All rise. For a second.
Sorry?
I have a voir dire, the witness before the Mr. Shapiro begins.
I'd like to make a proffer.
Mr. Shapiro is at the lectern. And
can we put up trial exhibit 2017-655? Do you see on the right-hand side where it says provider name, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
That's correct, sir.
And in your review of the hospital bills, you have reviewed the actual hospital bills at All Children's, correct?
That's correct, sir.
And I'll represent to you that the plaintiff never put those in evidence. So what I will ask you this question, from your review of this transaction report from Aetna, does it appear to you to match the diagnoses code submitted by All Children's to Aetna for Maya Kowalski?
It appears to be in line with what I have seen. That's correct.
In your training and experience, do you have sufficient knowledge to educate this jury when you look at the diagnoses codes about how those would relate into a bill submitted by All Children's to Aetna?
Yes, sir.
And would you be able to educate the jury about how those codes, well, let me back up. Are you aware whether these were the codes that All Children's generated when they sent them to Aetna?
I have seen many of these codes based upon the claims that I reviewed, sir.
And are you able to educate the jury on how these codes all coming together would form what's called the diagnostic related group?
Yes, sir.
And would you be able to educate the jury on how the diagnostic related group code, when combining these, would generate a medical charge?
Yes, sir.
And have you had sufficient training and experience throughout your career to be able to give that knowledge to the jury?
Yes, sir.
That's all I need for the proffer right now.
Mr. Whitney.
Good morning.
By way of background, if I was listening closely enough, you have an MBA?
That's correct, sir.
And then how long after your MBA did you join Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
I've been with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. It'll be a year in November, sir. And I've been in healthcare finance for 22 years.
I'm sorry if I missed this. Would you just run through the different entities that you've worked for over those 22 previous years?
Sure. I worked for Geisinger Health System for the Geisinger Health System for the first 15 years of my career, Penn State Health for approximately 3 years of my career, Title Health for 3 years of my career, and now I've been with Johns Hopkins. It'll be a year in November.
All right. Try to take those in order for me.
Yes, sir.
Geisinger Health?
Geisinger Health System.
This is a hospital system?
It is a massive health system. Approximately $6 billion in annual revenue.
Right, and you worked in providing, I'm guessing, tell me if I'm wrong, within the health system, providing bills to the insurance company.
I was the director of revenue cycle integrity for Geisinger Health System for a period of time that dealt with coding issues, billing issues, CDM issues, charge capture issues, things of that nature.
From sorry, did you say revenue?
Integrity, sir.
Revenue integrity.
Just to ensure the accuracy of the claim.
So, in revenue integrity and these other roles, they're generating from the hospital side or the health system side, sending this out to the insurer and having a liaison relationship with the insurance company from there.
Yes, sir.
All right. I heard Penn State.
That's correct, sir.
Part of their health system?
Yes, sir.
And was it a similar role to the first, Geisinger?
The role at Penn State Health was I had oversight of the entire revenue cycle for one of their hospitals, St. Joseph's Hospital in Reading, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I was responsible for the entire scope of revenue cycle, not just one piece of it. After that, after we had a merging of data systems, converting onto one EMR and billing platform, sure. We combined all the hospitals onto one.
Sure.
I was then responsible for mergers and acquisitions, which led to the implementation of new revenue cycles into any hospital and or physician group that we acquired. I then transitioned into the role of overseeing the entire hospital billing and collections operations for Penn State Health before I transitioned to Title Health.
Understood. Quite an impressive number of roles within Penn State and at some point involved in mergers and acquisitions. But if I'm understanding correctly, again, your roles there were focused on billing from the hospital or health system side and providing those to the insurance company and then working out any disputes over payments. Is that right?
Many communications with the insurance companies for payment resolution was also part of the responsibility.
All right. And then the final before Johns Hopkins is Title Health.
Title Health, sir.
Would you please explain what Title Health is?
Title Health is a multi-hospital physician group health system on the eastern shore of Maryland where I oversaw the entire revenue cycle for that health system.
Would it be fair to say that your role there was similar to the previous two health system, hospital systems you worked in?
It's fair to say that that role is similar to what I performed at Penn State Health, and it's very much similar to what I perform now today.
All right. And then your fourth and final role has been with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
That's correct, sir.
And similar function?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have we covered the span of your career from graduating with your MBA until joining Johns Hopkins and to the present day?
Well, technically, sir, I started after my undergrad at Bloomsburg University.
All right.
And then achieved my MBA while I was working.
Have we missed any significant employment?
No, sir.
All right. It's true that you've never worked for an insurance company.
100%.
You've never worked for Aetna.
That's correct, sir.
You've never, from the insurance company side, been involved in creating a document like what we have at Exhibit 2017.
Can you show me that, please?
Sure. Let's pull up 2017-681. 2017-681. This is an example, and I'll represent to you that, you know, we have several hundred pages.
Okay.
Like what you see here.
Right.
You'd agree with me first. This is a record generated by Aetna.
That is correct.
And you've never been involved in crafting a document on behalf of an insurance company similar to the one you see here.
That's correct, sir.
So you don't know, from the insurance company's perspective, what information they rely upon in creating a document like this?
I don't know if I would agree with that, because from the hospital billing standpoint, we would be able to feed that information to the insurance company, which I am assuming this is what their byproduct is.
That was an assumption of yours, yes.
I've never dealt with this side of that piece of healthcare, sir.
You couldn't tell us, for example, if I look at this here, and again, this is 2017-60681, what specifically the Aetna person was looking at in coalescing together these diagnostic codes on this specific document.
I'm not understanding your question, sir.
If you see the diagnostic codes there, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of them. You would not be able to say how it is that the Aetna representative decided that those diagnostic codes should go on this document, would you?
What I can tell you is that we provided this information to Aetna, being the coding that we performed, it would show up on our hospital claim, then be submitted to Aetna. How Aetna takes that information and put this particular document together, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that the codes that are on here would not have magically appeared. We would have had to provide that information to Aetna to have them be able to pull that.
I don't know the answer to this question. Are you a trained medical coder?
No, sir.
All right. So you've never performed a role as a medical coder?
Excuse me, sir. No. I'm not a certified professional coder.
Your responsibilities are oversight of revenue cycle, meaning making sure that the bills that go out are paid in a timely and satisfactory basis.
As I stated, sir, my job, Matt, what do I push from you because I have to call?
There should be a little button.
There's a button on the
bottom. If not, just turn away from
that. Sorry about that. Now, when I oversee the entire revenue cycle, the revenue cycle just isn't coding. The revenue cycle includes scheduling a patient, getting prior authorization for a patient, registering that patient when they show up through the door, overseeing the coding team who's responsible for ensuring that the services that were provided or have an appropriate diagnosis code related to it, which then falls into the billing team to make sure that those diagnosis codes are appropriately attached to a bill to be submitted to the insurance company. I then have to make sure that the insurance company not only pays, but pays properly or appropriately for the services that were rendered, as well as if there's any patient obligation or responsibility after the insurance company pays, to make sure that the follow-up is provided with that patient to collect on their balances. So the revenue cycle is not just coding, sir. It is a very large magnitude of the patient experience.
But again, you're not a medical coder.
That's correct, sir.
And so, for example, if we see a diagnosis code of G90.59, would you know what that is?
I would just read what's on the screen here. And based upon my review, I know it's complex regional pain syndrome.
And within the Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital system, there exists, separate from these documents, an entire set of medical bills that were submitted on behalf of the Kowalski family to Aetna. Yes?
Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital submitted both hospital and professional claims to Aetna for reimbursement.
And do you have those with you here today?
No, sir.
And so are you able to compare those bills to these documents to see how it is that Aetna arrived at this coalition, this conglomeration of diagnoses on this date compared to the hospital bills?
This here is an incomplete story. I would not be able to definitively match this up to a particular bill that was sent by us.
Nothing else.
We put back 2017-655. And Mr. Banker, by the way, in your job, are you called on to review and interpret transaction reports such as these?
In my role, it is not uncommon for me to review any concerns with payer issues.
And do you routinely interface with Aetna and other third parties?
Yes, we have consistent communication with all of our payers.
Okay. Your Honor, may I approach?
You may.
Sure.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeet. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.